Well, Kevin, it really doesn't matter what time of the season it is, I don't think. Generally, I don't think you ask how you win a game. You just accept that you win a game and move on. The Toronto Blue Jays did that today. 3-0 over the New York Yankees. The Jays are 4-4 on this road trip. The Yankees, it was their second loss of the year in 8 games. It was their home opener. The Jays' last 2 wins have come on a Davis Schneider home run, an Ernie Clement pitch hit home run, and a 9th-inning gift from the Yankees, John Birdie. 3 wild pitches, a couple of walks, a couple of runs scored. But again, I'm not asking how the Jays won this game. I'm just happy that they won it.
Yeah, okay. If I'd have told you that Bo and Vladdy were 0 for 10 with 3 strikeouts and Yusei Kikuchi was 7 for 19 throwing strike one and had a 21-pitch inning and a 31-pitch inning, would you have guessed that they would have won 3-0?
No, I would have. No, definitely
especially
not.
The home opener in Yankee Stadium. And, oh, by the way, the Yankees are 6-1 on the season. Yeah. It, you know, again, this is about sort of taking advantage of some bad mistakes from a pretty good team that's gotten off to a good start. You know, Marcus Stroman was really good. You got to zone in. You got to catch the, you know, the moving ball that he's trying to backdoor to righties out front. You can't let that travel. You let that travel, you're either missing it, you're fouling it off. When you do those two things, you're falling behind. You fall behind. And, oh, by the way, a veteran guy don't throw hard anymore, Jeff. It's funny, whenever he notices that the wind is blowing straight in from right field. Yeah. Now, I'm just assuming this. But right field is really close to him, right? And he's thinking to himself, okay, got a team that has trouble with the ball away. And, oh, by the way, Mother Nature's doing me a favor by having the wind blow straight into right, from right most of the game, at least early in the game when he was throwing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, give him credit. They got it done when they were supposed to get it or had to get it done.
Yeah, I think we saw an early sign of that when Alejandro Kirk had the single in the second inning, one of his 3 hits today. But Alejandro Kirk's single, frankly, the wind kept it in the park. And I'm sure if you're Marcus Stroman, you're seeing that and you're thinking, okay, well, I'm gonna keep working away. 3-0, the Blue Jays have beaten the New York Yankees in the first of a 3-game series. This is Blue Jays Talk. We're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the Sportsnet Radio Network, and welcome to those of you watching us on Sportsnet. We'll be doing this a number of times this season during afternoon games. We'll be doing Blue Jays Talk. We will solicit your texts. 590-590 is the text line, and you can leave us a voicemail on what we call the back leg line in honor of my friend, Mr. Barker, 416-413-3959. John Schneider, every now and then it's nice to be reminded that you know, the guy can manage a game, given the criticism he gets. I'm being tongue-in-cheek here. Goes with Ernie Clement as a pinch hitter for Kevin Biggio.
Uh-huh.
Puts Brian Servin in as a pinch runner for Alejandro Kirk
when
on second base. Now, I mean, that's probably not rocket science, but the fact of the matter is, if Alejandro Kirk is on second base when the wild pitches start, you may not be looking.
Well, they're not scoring.
You're not scoring.
It is.
It might be 1-0 for Chad Green going against Judge, Stanton, Rizzo, Volpe, and Verdugo. Is a lot different than 3-0 for Chad Green going.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think he did a really good job of bringing Garcia in when he brought Cabrera in with the 2 lefties and the righty, when he brought Richards in. Look, Trevor Richards, I told you this, when standing behind that guy in spring training and throwing the changeup, you can see why he makes some really good hitters look really silly at the big league level. He could tell him it's coming. Like, if he somewhat locates it and can somewhat keep that fastball in the same area code with the changeup, he's pretty devastating, and I'm with you. The jury's still out on Chad Green. You know, some would say they can't wait for Swanson and Jordan Romano to get back. That now you're sort of cooking with gravy. You can sort of put Chad, you know, where you want to put him. It would more be in the 6th and 7th inning than the 9th inning. Mm-hmm. I think they're sort of married to, you know, you give him a certain inning because of what he's coming off of with the Tommy John, and you want him to sort of find a routine and – you know, you're going to mix and match with Jimmy Garcia because you like his secondary stuff, and now he's throwing harder, and, you know, he's more consistent with the outer thirds of the secondary stuff, which, you know, when he's good doing that and not throwing that thing down the middle, which most big league hitters can hit hard. He's really good, and you can use him meet of the order, big time spots, no matter what inning it is. So, yeah, John had a really good day. I mean, I know, you know, some John Schneider haters are going to have a real tough time admitting that, but he had a really good game. And, you know, again, it's probably not the way you want to win these things on the road, but offense is doing things or not doing things, they'll take it.
Want to talk about that? We'll get to the back leg line, 416-413-3959-590-590 is the text line. It is a 3-0 win for the Blue Jays. That's good, but we do have to talk about the offense. 9 hits against Houston. That's a franchise low for a 3-game series. They come into this game. We already said Bo and Vladdy. Frankly, the first 4 at-bats Vladdy had today might be the worst 4 at-bats.
No, it is for me.
I've seen him have in the Blue Jays.
It is for
uniform.
Me.
Now the 5th at-bat,
he battled.
Yeah, it was an 11 pitch at-bat, 10 pitch at-bat.
Oh, he got first 99 miles an hour. He's right-handed. Like you, but give him credit for that.
But we do have to point this out, Kevin. Alejandro Kirk did have a 3-hit day, but my goodness, he chased Vladdy. Those two guys in particular, it seemed, not swinging at hittable pitches or missing hittable pitches. Marcus Stroman was fine today, but Marcus Stroman was not dominating and chasing in a couple of instances. I mean, 3-0's great, but...
Yeah, I think Marcus could be frustrating. Like if the timing for what you're trying to do to the part of the field that you want the ball to end up is not on point with him, he gonna make you look silly. Like a lot of that, look, it's not how hard you throw, it's where you throw it. And when you're throwing them, you know, away and your misses are where Marcus Stroman's misses were, he threw some balls down the middle. I mean, he's a human being. Occasionally he's gonna do that. And it's up to good hitters, good lineups to make him pay for that. And again, it's you can't let the ball away travel. I know everybody says that. You can't. You got to catch that thing at least around the front part of your knee to be able to hit that and have it end up where you want it to end up. So they'll take the win. Wasn't pretty, but they'll take it.
Welcome to our viewers on Sportsnet. It is Blue Jays Talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. We'll be doing this a number of times this year following afternoon Jays games. You can send us a text. 590-590 is the text number. 416-413-3959. You can leave us a voice note. And if we like it, we'll get it on the air.
I got nothing to do with that. You read it and I'll answer it.
That's why we have you here for the eye candy and the intelligence.
It took you long enough to admit that.
Yeah, we do. Well, you know, every now and then. Joe from London.
Why is Ernie Clement not the starting third baseman on the Blue Jays? He's an above-average fielder, seems to have a good bat, has a great accurate arm, and make him the third baseman and turn IKF into a super utility player because he can play all over the place and really valuable defensively, but I think the Blue Jays might improve their offense.
Appreciate the call, Joe. Look, I mean, I said at the start of the year, I know IKF is here in a multi-year contract, but I don't think he can be this team's everyday third baseman.
You know as well as I do at the beginning of the season, that's why he's playing third.
Yeah.
It's because they gave him $15 million for 2 years. That's why. Now, will this change throughout the season? I'm sure. If IKF doesn't start hitting and Ernie Clement continues to have quality at-bats and you know, shows them that you know he can compete and do it against some really good pitching, then he will play a lot more. But that's what it is. Like, let's not be naive about this. You gave a guy money. You're going to give him chances to take it and run with it. And, you know, right now, I think the experience and the defense, I'm assuming is what they're sort of banking on with IKF. But offensively, if these guys don't start stepping up, it's a lot to ask a pitching staff to try and do this another year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sooner or later, they're going to have to start having better at-bats. Like, sooner or later, they're going to have to start scoring more runs. Like, they're going to have to do these kind of things if they think they're going to make the playoffs. So, right now, I would think early in the season, it's about money, how much you paid a dude, and about defense.
Yeah. Let's be clear. The Jays feel they can carry IKF's bat if Vladdy and Bo and Springer, I mean, you've heard us talk about this. If Vladdy and Bo and Springer and the guys that are supposed to hit can hit, you can probably carry IKF's bat. He does get exposed every day if nobody else is hitting.
Yeah.
He just does. He is not going to be a guy who is going to save your lineup. He's not going to save a game for you, certainly not at the plate. As for Ernie Clement, my friend Mr. Barker here was the first person I know in these parts to talk about Ernie Clement. You know, I saw this guy in the backfield in spring training. Yep. He was taking at bats, and he looked good. And this is, okay, whatever. Ernie Clement, career minor leaguer. He came up last year,
yeah,
and he certainly didn't look out of place. He's got, you talked about his swing. His swing is very simple.
It's repeatable.
Repeatable.
Yeah.
The perfect guy to have coming off the bench.
Absolutely.
After not playing for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
You have to ask yourself, though, much as we saw with Davis Schneider last year, once Davis Schneider started playing every day, the holes started to get exposed.
I'm not sure Ernie has holes, though. He's got a little short, compact swing, not trying to hit homers. Like, he's not a home run hitter. He's going to hit a home run like he did today on a mistake, like a guy trying to go away who's left-handed. He misses. You know, it's short and quick. It's simple. It's repeatable. Not trying to do a ton. Catch it out front. That's all you're trying to do is hit it hard. Stay in the big part of the field. Have length to the end of your swing. It's a simple approach. You don't overthink it. I'm just not sure there's a ton of holes. How would you get him out? I mean, I guess if you're right-handed, you get him out with sliders down and away. But who can't you get out down and away with a slider? I think if he learns how to take those a little bit more and, you know, can maybe drive an occasional double off a slider from a right-handed pitcher to right center, like, he's going to get less of those. So, yeah, look, this is about the offensive side. I know early on it's about defense and you're trying to run prevent because, you know, basically 1 through 9 other than Turner – ain't doing a ton. So, you know, I think they're going to probably try and go mix and match, play the hot hand. Now, Davis Schneider, I was the one that's yelling and screaming yesterday about why won't you play him because nobody else is hitting homers. He's got 8 at bats. He's got 2 homers.
Does Ernie Clement play tomorrow?
Oh. I mean,
what is it Chris LaRue, our radio analyst, called him? Is he the new Davis Schneider?
I would say you could argue. Why wouldn't you? But –
I mean, well, I would.
What's the chances?
Well, I mean, who knows?
I mean, I'm sure there's some khaki going, you know, we didn't plan on this 3 months before the season. You know, we got this plotted out and we're predicting the future here. And how dare we change it? No. No player's going to show us that he can hit no matter if it's, you know, the first couple of days of the season or the first month of the season. So I know what I'd do. I'm stacking everybody in there that they can hit.
You know what? The analytics folks don't like it,
though.
They don't like it when human beings perform.
Oh.
And then you have to change the plans. Oh. You know, you don't really.
How dare you?
You want to be careful. 416-413-3959 is the back leg line. Leave us a voice note. Josh from Bowmanville left us a voice note.
Nice.
Right now, we're going into, I believe, the 6th inning. Vladdy grounded out on the first pitch. It was 1-1 count, grounded out on a third pitch, then saw a third pitch and swung way outside the zone. My question is Vladdy impatient at the plate, or is he afraid to fall behind in the counts?
I will pass that over to my friend,
yeah,
Mr.
I don't
Barker.
I don't think it's fear. I think his
impatience?
I don't think it's that. I think there's a lot of things going on with Vladdy. Like, what that is, I think only Vladdy knows. Like, I know he has lots of moving parts. You know, a lot of the times the hands are not matching up with the lower half. Like, it's rare. Even the pitch that he yelled and screamed at, no, out loud. Did you see where the ball was at when his front foot hit the ground? Like, he had no chance. If he needed to swing at that and foul that off, he had no chance of doing that. And I know the guy throws a bazillion miles an hour, but point being is, if I'm athletic enough and on time most of the time because I'm very, you know, athletic and can do things with my barrel and my eyes are going to direct that better than most can, I'll have a good chance of having success. It's rare, at least early on here, that he does that. I told you this. When I saw him in spring training, I was standing behind the cage. It was rare that I saw him take a swing anytime that I was there, the 15 days or whatever I was there, on the field, off the field, in the cage, that he was trying to force distance. Now, all of a sudden, he goes to Tampa, and they start throwing changeups from righties, and now you see the two-handed finish. You see him on his heels. You see him over-swinging, which is, you know, we talked to Turner. It's a no-no. Like, you can't do that consistently and be on time and be balanced and have good rotation. And right now, I think bottom line is up to Vladdy. The first 4 at-bats, I agree with the caller. It's the worst 4 at-bats I've ever seen Vladdy take. If I'm Don Mattingly, I know the first person I'm walking up to after the game's over. I'm going to go up to Vladdy and go, if I ever see you have the at-bat in the first inning that I saw you have again, me and you're fighting. We're going in the tunnel and fighting. That's not what we pay you for. What we pay you to run, produce, and helped his team win a baseball game. You taking an 0-0 sinker and jamming yourself to move a runner
after
in the first
a leadoff
inning,
double.
I'm sorry, that's not acceptable, yeah. Especially when everybody else is not hitting. I need you to do better. I need you to zone up and have better at-bats. Be a tougher out like the fifth at-bat.
Flatties.
Take the fifth at-bat and run it to the first at-bat, yeah. And then you actually give yourself a chance to have success. Can't do that anymore. So you got to be a little tougher on him. I think the conversations have to be a little tougher with Vladdy. Like, nobody argues that he has talent, and it's oozing. But it's the days that look like this are more than they look like he's got oozing talent. Yeah. And I just think they got to clean that up and fix it. And then for me, it's up to Vladdy to do that, and then up to a collection of people, whoever that right person is, to be tough with him.
His first four at-bats, ground out the first, ground out the third, strikeout swinging, nine pitches. Now, I know that seeing a ton of, as our friend Josh Donaldson always used to say, not a great at-bat if I saw 12 pitches and the second pitch was the one I should have driven out of the park. That's not a great at-bat.
He saw 11 pitches in his fifth at-bat because he missed four or five of them.
Correct.
That's why he saw 11 pitches.
Yes.
Let's be honest. So, it's if you're on time, you have a good idea, you have a thought of where you want the barrel to end up before you actually start your swing, it is. I can understand why fans are very frustrated occasionally watching him hit. And then he laughs about the punch out when Marcus Stroman is Marcus Stroman, right?
Yeah.
And it's not funny because you look like you looked the first two.
That was the one where he went way out of the zone.
Yeah.
Way out of the zone.
Yeah. It's sometimes it's head scratching.
Yeah. Vladdy is, surprise, surprise, Vladdy's very much a talking point both on the phone line and on the text line. Peter in Calgary left us a text on 590-590. And again, that is the text line. Leave us a text. We'll get your text up. We'll talk about it as well. This is from Peter in Calgary, and it is about Vladdy. Guys, Vladdy hasn't hit in a year. He is a year. It seems more than that. He is missing everything. He's not going to just snap out of it. What's the answer? Okay, Kevin, thank you for the text, Peter. I'm going to ask you that. We've said that. You've talked about Don Mattingly needs to have a talk with him. If you could get Vladdy in a room, you and Vladdy, and a cup of coffee, what are you saying to Vladdy?
Be ready to hit the fastball. I want you to be the best fastball hitter on earth. How do we do that? If we have to eliminate your lower half and stop doing the fruition of his gather, enough of that thing. Like consistently, I just talked about Ernie Clement being able to do certain things, come off a bench, you know, sit over there for a couple days and come up and hit and look like he looked the couple of days that he hit in a row.
Mm-hmm.
How do we consistently have a sound mechanical approach to where your swing looks the same all the time? You go and watch the World Series, you watch the playoffs, you watch the great hitters. Their swing, watch Mookie Betts all the time now. He's perfected his lower half to where now all he has to do is have his eyes take the barrel to where the quadrant of the pitch is headed. Until he does that, I don't understand why. Maybe they have. It's like the moving around the box. All of a sudden, John told us when he came on our show that they actually do that. That's news to me. I mean, I watched the games pretty close. Doesn't look to me like they're moving around. Sometimes you got to be obvious about things. Sometimes you got to raise your hand and go, hey, look,
I'm moving. I'm moving up.
Like to force somebody to change things. It's just, look, he ain't the only one that's not hitting. But, man, when you see four at-bats that you saw today off a guy that throws most of the time, less than 90 miles an hour. Now, again, I'm not taking away anything from Strom. He's a smart guy. Like, he understands. Add and subtract. If you don't throw hard, you know, make sure your misses are good away off the plate. He understands what a team can't do. He understands where the wind's going. Like, he's a very smart guy. But it's up to you, because you have tons of talent, to not look like you looked the first three at-bats. And that, for me, is the thing. Be the best fastball hitter in baseball. Stop guessing. Stop not being on time. Stop inconsistently being you. And if you can do that, because you have tons of talent, we should see the best out of Vladdy. That's what I said. I just don't know if you – do you think they had a hard conversation with him after the game? I just don't ever see that happening.
I don't
know that, if they did or not. Maybe they do. But it just – the reason why I say guessing whether they did or not is because – maybe tomorrow we'll see the exact same Vladdy, and that's the frustrating part of it, because he does have lots of talent.
Look, he's a free agent after next year, and I've said this a lot, and I know Vladdy's hugely popular with the fan base for a variety of reasons, but I don't know what he is. 2 years away from free agency.
Oh, I mean, he's a 25-90 guy. I mean, yeah. I don't agree with the Texas first line there where he didn't hit in a year. Yeah, he hit last year. I mean, he led the team in homers and RBIs. What's the expectation?
If he hits
30 and drives in 100, that's a good year for Vladdy.
I think when you need to look at who people lump him in with. This is a guy that was lumped in when he came up with Fernando Tatis Jr. Yeah. Juan Soto.
Jordan Alvarez.
Yeah. He was lumped in with he finished second in MVP voting 1 year, I do believe. He was lumped in with all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that early in your career, 25-90 is not good enough. Let me rephrase that. 25-90 doesn't allow you to meet the expectations people have for you.
Yeah, that's fair. We'll see. I just don't know. The expectations are so high with him. What's a good year?
You know, I got
if he hits 30 and drives in 100, that's a good year.
Yeah,
that's four more homers and six more RBIs than he had last year. It's a good year just because it's around. There's around numbers.
Kevin,
the finish in second was 40 and 114 or whatever it was.
Does that put him at a level where he is among the 20 best players in the game, let's say?
That's a good question.
He deserves to be among the highest paid players. We were talking at one point about a guy. I mean, I remember the story when Tatis Jr. signed. What impact is this going to have on Vladdy's contract? Now, my God, everybody's going to get $400 million over the life of a long-term contract. I don't know anymore. I do know that it never ceases to amaze me that a guy who came up and all we said was, oh, this dude can fall out of bed and hit. But, man, I don't know if they're ever going to find a position for him.
I was one of those.
I'm happier with Vladdy defensively at first base than I am. I know that. But I'm talking to a former first baseman, and you see it differently than I do. I admit that. But I'm saying I'm happier with him defensively than I am with him offensively right now. I just am. And I kind of felt that way last year as well. 416-413-3959, the back leg line. Leave us a voice note. Lindsay in Winnipeg did just that.
Really enjoyed his mix of pitches and his use of the curveball and how he kept the batters off balance. I just wanted to know your thoughts about today's pitching performance by Yusei Kikuchi, and I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that.
Lindsay. Kevin, I'll turn it over to you. 7-19 first pitch strikes. He kept the Yankees scoreless. Still throws too many pitches for my liking.
Yeah, look, I think it's a lot of his is glove hand and trunk rotation. It's which one goes first sometimes, which one's not on point some of the times. That's why you see a lot of non-competitive arm side run right out of the hand. It's a ball. That's why you see the pitch counts go up, way up. That's why you saw today, sometimes the midsection goes before the glove goes and the ball's sort of all over the place. The breaking ball's not, you know, ending up where he wants it to end up. So it is a work in progress, but you got to give him credit. A year and a half ago, there's no way he could have got through a game like this in Yankee Stadium and actually give them a chance to win.
He pitches well at Yankee Stadium. Do you have any idea why?
I think they're an older team who don't like velocity. Okay. I do think that. And sometimes they are guessers and they're cheaters at the plate, right? They gotta cheat to get the head out. And when you do that, you can throw a bad curveball, you can throw a bad slider, you can get away with it. And there's not too many lefties throw 96. I mean, he was consistently sitting at that number. That allows him to expand those secondary pitches and get away with a stinker. And when you do that, again, the pitch count's going to go way up. It's not where they want it to be. The strike ones are not where they want it to be. You know, league average is somewhere right at the 60% mark. He wasn't 40% today. Like, that's got to get better. Like, he's going to run into better lineups. Mm-hmm. Who he's going to have to get ahead
of. That's
a
great point. The Yankees lineup for their 6-1 record, there's some, if you just listen to what people are saying in New York, I mean, there's some issues with that line.
Yeah, I saw a stat today. Yankees have the fourth lowest exit velocity in the American League at 87.7 coming into today.
Who's lower than them?
Well, the Blue Jays are second worst, behind only the worst team it's ever been Colorado? Putting the big leagues, the A's.
No, Colorado's worse than Oakland.
Oh, it's, I mean, potato, potato here.
The Toronto Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 3-0 in the first game of a three-game series in the Bronx. Ernie Clement, a pinch-hit home run. The Yankees bullpen. John Birdie having one of those openers that makes you wonder if he'll ever recover from it. And you know what Yankees fans are like. You know what Yankees fans are like. Three wild pitches, two walks helped the Jays to their win. We're going to take a break and come back with more. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet.
TimberMart is Canada's building center, a solid neighbor to call upon when you've got a job to do. Your dependable home improvement store that offers the added value of Air Miles Reward Miles with every purchase of $15 or more. Visit timbermart.ca.
At Crown Rust Control Center, protection runs deep because every Crown Rust Control Center is owned by a local family who cares beyond business. Your Crown Rust Control Center is 100% committed to their product, to you, to their community, which is your community. Protecting you and what matters to you is equally important as protecting your vehicle.
What you like about it, you know, handedness for sure. You know, we're a little bit kind of tight, you know, with our bench today. So, you know, wanted to kind of, you know, get that match up there to lead the inning off. But I think with Ernie, you know, it's such a simple swing and so contact oriented. That's why he's so good off the bench. But doing damage too when he's ahead in the count. You know, he's been doing that for a while, the last year or so. Huge, huge at bat from him. Just brings instant energy and turning point of the game for sure.
You know, there was an earthquake in New York City earlier today. It measured 4.8 on the Richter scale. I mean, it didn't really do much to wake up the bats of these two teams. I'm sorry. I was trying to figure out. I wanted to work the earthquake in.
Yeah.
But
you could have just said there was an earthquake.
What?
You could have just said there's an earthquake. There was an earthquake in New York.
I know, but that's true. But as you just heard John Schneider, the manager of the Toronto Blue Jays, say, it was Ernie Clement's pinch hit home run that put some wind in the sails of the Blue Jays. They went on to win 3-0 over the New York Yankees. Blue Jays talk with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker.
It is opening day in Yankee Stadium on the road. I mean, if that's not enough right there to get you fired up, I guess it took to the seventh inning.
What makes a guy, John Schneider's comment was interesting. What makes him a good hitter? I guess hitters are better hitters when they're ahead in the count anyhow. But the way John mentioned that, what is it about Ernie Clement, do you think, that?
Yeah, I think you got to have a decent plan of what you're trying to do, right? If I'm trying to, you know, make solid contact on the baseball, I'm probably not looking, at least early in the count, something middle away. I want to get something middle or middle in because I'm short and quick to the ball, not really overthinking that, and don't have a ton of big moves, right? He's not a collision guy. Collision guy is like a turner where it kicks the leg and everything follows, and I'm trying to maximize when the ball leaves the barrel. He ain't that guy. Like, he wants to hit the ball hard to quadrants, and the way he does that is just be short and quick, and then the barrel's the last thing you see, and yeah, but you got to swing at the right pitch, and I think that's where you start. And just seems like he's sort of – everything's come together here. He's taking it and run with it, and it's moments not too big for you. Hitting in Yankee Stadium the seventh inning is not the easiest thing to do, especially in a tie game. And you're being sent to the plate to do something good. Mm-hmm. And it's not the easiest thing to do that, and give him credit, he did it.
416-413-3959. That is the back leg line. We are going to be doing Blue Jays Talk live after – a number of afternoon games this year on Sportsnet. That is the number to call and leave a comment. We will get your comment on the air. 590-590 is the text line. You want to text us during the game, right after the game, respond to something we said, respond to something you see. Please feel free to do it, and we will get your texts up there. Noah in Newmarket sent in a text about the starting pitching. And asked this question: when the pitching staff regresses to the mean, will the offense be able to bridge that gap? I'm not so hopeful. If we fall too far down the rankings here, I feel like we would be wide to trade assets in an attempt to rebuild our farm system. Good thought, Noah. Thank you for that. I don't know about regressing to the mean, but Kevin and I have talked about this a lot. The Blue Jays pitching staff was unusually healthy last year. Like, that was a year blessed by the baseball gods.
Yeah.
For starting pitching.
Absolutely.
For this team.
Four guys made 30 starts.
Yeah. This year, we've already seen Alek Manoah. He's behind. He's still down in Florida. Kevin Gausman is still building up. Gausman, Bassett, they're not young anymore. You know, you just got to You've got to be aware of those things. The Jays have, in Ricky Tiedemann, a top, one of the game's top pitching prospects. Mm-hmm. General consensus is he's one of the game's top pitching prospects. So there's a little bit of hope there, but you know,
you trading Bo Bichette?
The text, no.
That's the only guy, really. No.
Well, this is the thing, but Noah brought up a really good point, because with Bo and Vladdy eligible for free agency after next season, like this is kind of an inflection point for this organization. There are some awfully tough decisions that are going to have to be made. And we talked about it a little bit on Blair and Barker yesterday. We talked about, you know, Juan Soto's with the Yankees because the Yankees had enough in their minor league system, and they had a little bit, Michael King, at the major league level, to put together a trade for Juan Soto.
Yeah.
The Jays do not have enough high-end minor league depth to put together a deal for an impactful player. They just don't. I don't even know, frankly, if I don't need, you know, Ricky Tiedemann and Aurelvis Martinez are their top two prospects. I don't know if either of them gets you. I don't know if either of them necessarily gets you what you need to kind of build your next window. Because what we're talking about is building towards the next window of opportunity. So that comes down to, okay, who are you going to trade off your major league roster? And this is why I'm talking about Noah's text. I've already said Bassett's old, you know. Kevin Gausman, he's getting up there. They've pitched a ton of innings. Mm-hmm. You might be able to get something for Jose Berríos.
He's
predictable. He's
predictable.
Yeah. But I don't think, given the age of the other dudes, given the uncertainty with Alek Manoah, given the fact that Ricky Tiedemann hasn't pitched in the majors.
What would Berríos give you or get you?
I'm saying I think he's more – Jose Berríos, to me, is more valuable to the Blue Jays than he is to any other team.
I would think so. Yeah.
Regardless of what happens over the life of that contract, I don't think he's going to be any worse than your number three starter.
I don't think so.
So – you ask yourself, who are you moving? George Springer? Nobody's taking George Springer. Dalton Varsho? Maybe you call up the Diamondbacks and see if they'll trade. No, I won't go there. Bo and Vladdy. I think at some point in the offseason, if we don't have anything to talk about in the postseason this year, I think at some point we have to have that discussion about what do you do? Do you ride out Bo and Vladdy for the next year? Do you try to sign one of them?
Yeah, I think the question too is how.
And if you don't, what are you going to try to
get?
What
do you think this lineup could turn into?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody has the answer to that. I don't think the Blue Jays do. I know they're trying to predict the future and tell us that, you know, everybody's going to come up and be what they think they're going to be. But anything, any signs directing that direction for you? I just don't. Again, I think it's a, you have a good week would change people's minds.
I don't. You see, I'm going to disagree with that. I don't think. You mean you're talking about Vladdy?
I'm talking about the lineup as a whole.
Lineup.
I'm talking about you have quality at bat.
Yes, yes.
Like you have a whole week's worth of that last at bat Vladdy just had. Or you gonna be tough out? Like you continue to have at bats like that. Now again, he missed pitches. He should have hammered. Dude's throwing a bazillion miles an hour. Ball moving all over the place. Not too easy if it.
Well, obviously, his catcher couldn't catch it.
But at
so
least
it was
a fight.
Really,
you have nine dudes doing that. Like things would turn around. Do you think they could do that for a week or two straight? That's the thing you got to ask yourself. They're telling us they can't, and I just don't know if anybody else has the answer for that other than the organization, the Blue Jays.
Let's go to Keith from Barrie, Ontario. Love Barrie, Ontario.
Kevin, just curious on your thoughts of them pulling Kirky at the end there when he got to second. I was listening to Joe Siddle, and he was not thrilled with that move. But I, you know what, I liked it. I think Severin's earned his spot on the team, especially with Jano being out, but I'd like to hear what you have to say about it, Kevin. Thanks a lot. Love the show.
Yeah, you'll notice he doesn't really give a rat's ass about what I said.
Yeah, they were at 1-0.
Not that that bothers me.
They were at 1-0, right? When he was pinch ran for they had the lead already. They like serving behind the dish. Like they don't think they'll miss a beat with him behind the dish. And
well, they don't score a run if Kirk's on the base pass.
I think Joe is talking more about the game planning and getting a pitcher through a tough spot, right? The ninth inning's a tough spot. You'd rather have the lead, have your starting catcher behind the dish. I'm assuming that's what Joe is talking about. Me, Kirky's the slowest dude on earth. Occasionally, you got to be able to take the base when you got to be able to take the base. Like, you got to set a little something here early in the season that says we're going to do it the right way. We're going to be a tough out. You're going to beat us. You're going to beat us because we're not beating ourselves. And I think that comes with, you know, you get a small lead at second, you get a big secondary lead because the guy throws the ball away, you take third. And you can do the same thing at home, and you steal and run that way to make it easier for the guy coming in. Me, I think it made 100% the right move.
Yeah,
made total sense.
I will say this. The only question I had is why you waited until he got to second base. Because Kirky at first base, that's he is the human double play. I mean, it's just sitting right there.
Part of the order, but not in scoring position. That's what
I
was.
I think that shows that John Schneider's thought process was, if I take Alejandro Kirk out for Brian Servin, I am sacrificing a bit of, you know, I'm the defense, the stuff that makes the reason you like Kirk behind the plate. So I think John's thought process was, I'm not going to do that when he's at first base.
Yeah.
If he gets into scoring position and he becomes a run, because let's face it, Alejandro Kirk isn't a run at first base. Alejandro Kirk, to me, is a run when he gets to second base. And I think that was John's
thought
process.
And I do know Kevin Gausman in spring training was asked about just game calling, setting up for serving behind the dish. How did he like that? You know, receiving the baseball. He says he's a big fan of it. Like, they weren't missing the beat. They weren't having to think their way through it. They weren't, you know, weren't giving, like, the mouth signals to move over. I don't really want it there because you don't know what you're doing behind the dish. I think sometimes you just can't overthink it. Things are right in front of you. You know, do what you're supposed to do, and that's one of those moves where you got to get add-on runs. Add-on runs are huge. Buck Martinez talks about this all the time. Kirky can't go third on a pass ball. Servin can. It was the right move.
Let's post the text from Jason in Worthington, only because
it's a good question, though.
Jason in Worthington said, kind of seems to be the same frame of mind as myself. Blair said it, 5-5 sounds good right about now. 5-5 road trip after what you saw in Houston. You're happy with that if the Jays come home?
No, I'm not happy with that. I told you 6-4. And the reason why I told you 6-4 is what we've been talking about since June of last year is the offense. And all they've been yelling and screaming about is the core and the new team-wide approach. You know, let's see it right in front of us against some good teams on the road. Have we seen it? 5-5 tells you nothing. 5-5 tells you the same thing you knew from June on, that your pitching's really good. And it's going to keep you in most games. Other than that, do you know anything else? Yeah. Do you have any hope when they come home, offensively, they're going to be better? Was the ball still carried center, or doesn't it carry?
The Seattle Mariners are running out.
So, yeah, you know.
I mean, I hate to say it, but the fact of the matter is the three pitchers the Jays are going to face when Seattle comes to town are going to be the three best starters they face
with the exception
of Framber Valdez.
No hit and one hit. You're probably fortunate being 5-5. I'll say it that way. How's that?
I think it's okay.
But are you happy? Do you feel any more confident about this team?
Oh, no.
5-5.
Oh, five?
Six and four, you'd have been a little bit more confident. Things offensively probably would have been, you know, you would have seen some people turning the corner. You see any of that? No. Just that one win and that one less loss that would make you feel a little bit better about the offense.
I would have been okay 5-5 with a little more offense.
If they're 5-5 with who's not here on the pitching side, that just tells you what they're doing off the field with the pitching. Self-correcting and making in-game adjustments, boy, they know how to do it. That's all I'm saying, is that side of the ball has been taken care of. That's why I said 6-4 make you feel a little bit better about the offensive side. 5-5, for me, does nothing. Tells me nothing. Tells you nothing. I mean, you're going to gloat because you guessed 5-5. Because I said 6-4, and it makes our show better. And it gets people texting in saying Blair's right, 5-5. That's,
you know what I say every now and then. Every now and then.
You say the opposite of what I say. It makes our show better.
That's how it works. 3-0. The Blue Jays have beaten the New York Yankees in the first of a 3-game series in the Bronx. They'll play again Saturday and Sunday. Of course, all those games on the Sportsnet Radio Network and on the TV side on Sportsnet. Monday, the Jays return home to the refurbished Rogers Center. They will take on the Seattle Mariners. And a reminder, Blair and Barker can be heard and seen from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet. So, have yourself a great weekend. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Center. rust control centers in Mount Pearl and Corner Brook, Newfoundland. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection.